NASCAR on Prime lights up Music City. Who's got what it takes to tackle the concrete at Nashville Super Speedway and walk away with NASCAR's coolest trophy? Stream the NASCAR Cup Series at Nashville, Sunday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, where music meets motorsports, only on Prime.
It was one of those nights where the darkness seemed to swallow everything whole. I was driving home from a weekend trip, my car gliding down the deserted rural road. The air was crisp, and the only sound was the hum of my engine. The clock on my dashboard read 1:15 a.m., and the road ahead stretched out like a black ribbon under the dim moonlight. I was about 30 miles from home when I noticed the gas gauge edging toward empty. I cursed myself for not filling up earlier. The next gas station was still a good 20 miles away, but I was confident I could make it. As I drove, I kept an eye on the road and another on the gauge, silently praying I wouldn't run out of gas in the middle of nowhere. Suddenly, blue and red lights flashed in my rearview mirror, accompanied by the wail of a siren. My heart skipped a beat. What could I have done wrong? I hadn't seen another car for miles, and I was sure I wasn't speeding. Reluctantly, I pulled over to the side of the road and waited, my nerves on edge. The police car stopped behind me, and I watched as a figure emerged, illuminated by the headlights. The officer approached slowly, his hand resting on his belt, his face obscured by the brim of his hat. I rolled down my window, trying to keep my hands from shaking. "Evening, officer," I said, my voice barely above a whisper. The officer leaned in, shining a flashlight into my car. "Good evening. Can I see your license and registration?" I nodded, fumbling in the glove compartment for my documents. As I handed them over, I couldn't shake the feeling that something was off. The officer's eyes were cold, almost predatory. He took the documents without a word and walked back to his car. Minutes ticked by, each one feeling like an eternity. I glanced in my rearview mirror, trying to see what the officer was doing. My heart pounded in my chest, and a bead of sweat trickled down my forehead. I took a deep breath, trying to calm my racing thoughts. "This is just a routine traffic stop," I told myself. "Nothing to worry about." Finally, the officer returned, his flashlight flickering in the darkness. "Step out of the car, please," he said, his tone flat and emotionless. My stomach churned with unease. "Is there a problem, officer?" "Just step out of the car," he repeated, his voice leaving no room for argument. I unbuckled my seatbelt and got out, the cold night air biting at my skin. The officer motioned for me to move to the front of my car. I did as I was told, my mind racing with fear and confusion. He shined the flashlight in my face, making me squint. "Where are you headed tonight?" "Just going home," I replied, my voice trembling. "I was away for the weekend." The officer nodded slowly, his gaze never leaving my face. "You been drinking tonight?" "No, sir," I said quickly. "Just tired from the drive." He stared at me for a moment longer, then nodded again. "Wait here," he said, before turning and walking back to his car. I stood there, shivering in the cold, feeling more and more uneasy. Something about this whole situation felt wrong. I glanced around, looking for any sign of another car, another person, anything that might make me feel less alone. But there was nothing, just the dark, empty road stretching out in both directions. After what felt like an eternity, the officer returned. This time, he was holding something in his hand. It looked like a small metal object, but I couldn't make it out in the darkness. "Turn around and put your hands on the hood," he ordered. My heart skipped a beat. "Why? What did I do?" "Turn around and put your hands on the hood," he repeated, more forcefully this time. I hesitated for a moment, then did as I was told, pressing my palms against the cold metal of the car's hood. I heard the officer's footsteps behind me, and then felt something cold and hard being placed around my wrist. Handcuffs. What's going on? I demanded, panic rising in my voice. Why are you arresting me? Just a routine check, the officer replied, his tone eerily calm. We've had reports of suspicious activity in the area. Before I could protest further, he pulled me away from the car and marched me towards his patrol car. My mind raced with fear and confusion. This didn't feel right. None of this felt right. As we approached his car, I noticed something that made my blood run cold. The license plate was missing. My breath caught in my throat. This wasn't a real cop. I had to get away. I twisted my wrists, trying to free myself from the handcuffs, but they were too tight. The officer, or whoever he was, shoved me into the back seat of his car and slammed the door shut. I was trapped. Panic surged through me as I looked around the car, desperately searching for a way out. The windows were tinted, and the doors had no handles on the inside. I was completely at his mercy. He got into the driver's seat and
NASCAR on Prime lights up Music City. Who's got what it takes to tackle the concrete at Nashville Super Speedway and walk away with NASCAR's coolest trophy? Stream the NASCAR Cup Series at Nashville, Sunday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, where music meets motorsports, only on Prime.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Started the engine, the sound of the car roaring to life filling the silence. I tried to steady my breathing, forcing myself to think clearly. There had to be a way out of this. The car began to move, the road disappearing behind us. I watched helplessly as we drove further and further away from the main road, deeper into the darkness. My mind raced with thoughts of what he might do to me, but I pushed them away, focusing on finding a way to escape. After what felt like an eternity, the car came to a stop. The officer got out and opened the back door, pulling me out with a rough yank. We were in the middle of nowhere, surrounded by trees and darkness. My heart pounded in my chest as he dragged me towards a small, dilapidated cabin. "Please," I begged, my voice trembling. "I didn't do anything wrong." He ignored me, shoving me towards the cabin door. Panic surged through me, but I knew I had to stay calm. I had to find a way to escape. As he fumbled with the keys, I took a deep breath and mustered all the strength I had. With a sudden burst of energy, I twisted around and kicked him as hard as I could. He stumbled back, caught off guard, and I took my chance. I bolted into the darkness, my heart pounding in my ears. I ran blindly through the trees, branches scratching at my face and arms. I didn't stop, didn't look back, just kept running. The sound of his footsteps and shouts echoed behind me, but I forced myself to keep going. I had to get away. After what felt like hours, I finally saw a faint light in the distance. I pushed myself harder, my legs burning with exhaustion. As I got closer, I realized it was a house, its porch light casting a warm glow in the darkness. I stumbled up the steps and pounded on the door, my breaths coming in ragged gasps. "Help! Please, help me!" The door opened, and an elderly man peered out, his eyes widening in surprise. "What on earth?" "Please," I gasped, "I need help." "There's a man, he's pretending to be a cop. He's after me." The man's expression turned to one of concern. "Come in, quickly." I stumbled inside, The warmth of the house a stark contrast to the cold night air. The man shut the door behind me and locked it, his eyes filled with worry. "What happened?" he asked. I quickly explained everything, my words tumbling out in a rush. The man listened, his face growing more serious with each passing second. "We need to call the police," he said, reaching for the phone. I nodded, my body trembling with relief and exhaustion. As he dialed the number, I sank onto the couch, my mind reeling from the events of the night. When the real police arrived, I told them everything. They took my statement and assured me they would search for the fake officer. They were sympathetic, but their words did little to ease the fear that lingered in my mind. That night changed me. It made me more cautious, more aware of the dangers that can lurk anywhere. It's a reminder to always trust your instincts and never take anything at face value. Because you never know who might be hiding behind a badge. It was a calm Tuesday evening when my sense of security was shattered in the most unexpected way. My home, a modest suburban house in a quiet neighborhood, had always been my sanctuary. Little did I know that night would change everything. I had just finished dinner and was settling down in the living room with a book. Whiskers, my cat, was curled up next to me, purring contentedly. The sound of rain pattering against the windows added to the cozy atmosphere. As I immersed myself in my book, I suddenly heard a loud knock on the front door. Startled, I glanced at the clock. It was nearly 10 p.m. Who could be knocking at this hour? I approached the door cautiously, peering through the peephole. Standing there was a man in a police uniform. My heart raced with a mixture of confusion and anxiety. "Ma'am, I'm Officer Daniels," the man said in a deep, authoritative voice. "We're conducting a neighborhood safety check. May I come in for a moment?" His badge glinted in the porch light, but something about his demeanor felt off. He was too insistent, his eyes darting around nervously. My instincts screamed at me to be careful. "Do you have any identification?" I asked, trying to buy some time. He hesitated for a fraction of a second before producing a badge and ID card. They looked legitimate, but the nagging feeling of unease wouldn't go away. I remembered the recent news reports about people impersonating police officers. "Can you wait here for a moment?" I said, stepping back and closing the door slightly. I quickly dialed 911, explaining the situation to the operator. "Please stay on the line," the operator instructed. "A real officer will be dispatched to your location immediately." My heart pounded as I returned to the door. "I'm sorry, officer, but I can't let you in. I've called the police to verify your identity." His expression darkened. "That's not necessary, ma'am. I'm just here to ensure your safety." The door rattled as he tried to push it open. Panic surged through me, and I threw my weight against the door, struggling to keep it closed. "Stay back," I shouted. Whiskers hissed and darted under the couch as the man continued to force the door. The operator's voice in my ear was a lifeline, assuring me that help was on the way. Seconds felt like hours as the struggle continued. Just when I thought I couldn't hold on any longer, the sound of sirens pierced the air. The man at the door froze, his eyes wide with fear. He released the door and bolted towards the backyard. I collapsed to the floor, gasping for breath as real police officers stormed into the house. They found me shaken but unharmed, and quickly apprehended the imposter trying to escape through the back gate. As the officers secured the intruder, I learned that he had been targeting homes in our neighborhood for weeks, pretending to be a cop to gain entry. He had a history of violent crimes and was wanted in several states. The real Officer Daniels, who arrived shortly after the imposter was caught, assured me that the man would be brought to justice. but the damage was already done. My sense of safety in my own home had been shattered. For weeks after the incident, I struggled to sleep. Every creak and groan of the house set my nerves on edge. I installed extra locks, security cameras, and even got a guard dog, but the lingering fear remained. The sight of a uniform no longer brought comfort, but a reminder to stay cautious and always verify. My home invasion experience has shown me that evil can wear any guise, even that of a trusted protector. I remember it vividly. It was a chilly November night, and I was driving back from a long day at work. The clock read 11:45 p.m., and the road stretched out endlessly before me, illuminated only by the faint glow of my headlights. I had been driving for hours and realized that I was dangerously low on gas. My heart sank as I spotted the nearest gas station. It was one of those old, run-down stations that you only see in horror movies, isolated in the middle of nowhere. As I pulled in, the fluorescent lights flickered, casting eerie shadows on the cracked pavement. The gas station seemed abandoned, with no other cars in sight. I parked next to a pump and got out of the car, the cold air biting at my skin. The night was unnervingly quiet, with only the distant hum of the highway to break the silence. I glanced around, feeling a sense of unease wash over me. I fumbled with the gas pump, trying to get it to work. The old machine groaned in protest before finally spitting out a steady stream of gas. I kept looking over my shoulder, the feeling of being watched growing stronger with each passing second. Suddenly, a pair of headlights appeared in the distance, approaching slowly. My heart raced as the car pulled into the station and parked a few pumps away from mine. A man stepped out of the car, dressed in what appeared to be a police uniform. He was tall and broad-shouldered, his face obscured by the brim of his hat. Relief washed over me at the sight of a police officer, but there was something off about him that I couldn't quite put my finger on. He walked over to me, his footsteps echoing in the stillness of the night. "Evening," he said, his voice deep and gravelly. "Everything all right here?" I nodded, trying to hide my anxiety. "Yeah, just getting some gas. It's pretty late, huh?" The officer smiled, but it didn't reach his eyes. "Yes, it is. You should be careful out here. You never know what kind of people you might run into." I swallowed hard, his words sending a shiver down my spine. "Yeah, I'll keep that in mind." He lingered for a moment, his eyes scanning me and my car. "Mind if I take a look inside your vehicle?" "Just routine, you know." Something about his request felt wrong. Sure, I guess." As he walked towards my car, I felt a sudden urge to run. My instincts screamed at me that something was very wrong. I glanced at the gas pump, willing it to fill my tank faster. The officer peered into my car, shining a flashlight around the interior. His movements were slow, deliberate, almost predatory. "You traveling alone?" he asked, his back turned to me. "Yeah, just heading home," I replied, my voice trembling. He straightened up and turned to face me, his expression unreadable. "You should be more careful. It's not safe to be out here alone at this hour." I nodded, unable to speak. The gas pump clicked, signaling that my tank was full. I quickly replaced the nozzle and screwed the gas cap back on, my hand shaking. I glanced at the officer, who was now standing uncomfortably close to me. "Thanks for the advice, officer." "I'll be on my way now," I said, trying to keep my voice steady. He stepped back, allowing me to get into my car. I started the engine, my heart pounding in my chest. As I pulled away from the gas station, I glanced in the rearview mirror. The officer was still standing there, watching me with an intensity that made my skin crawl. I drove down the dark highway, the fear lingering like a shadow. I couldn't shake the feeling that I had narrowly escaped something terrible. I reached into my glove compartment and pulled out my phone, dialing 911. 911, what's your emergency? The operator's voice came through the line. I just had an encounter with a police officer at a gas station. Something didn't feel right. Can you check if there were any patrols in the area? I asked, my voice trembling. Please hold, the operator replied. The seconds felt like hours as I waited for a response. Finally, the operator came back on the line. Sir, we don't have any officers patrolling that area tonight. My blood ran cold. Thank you, I managed to say before hanging up. I drove straight home, my mind racing with fear and confusion. I double-checked all the locks on my doors and windows, unable to shake the feeling of being watched. That night, I barely slept, haunted by the memory of the fake officer's cold eyes. The next day, I reported the incident to the local police department. They took my statement seriously and assured me they would investigate. Weeks passed, and I never heard back. The experience left me with a lingering sense of paranoia, always looking over my shoulder, especially when stopping at gas stations late at night. Even now, the memory of that encounter sends chills down my spine. It serves as a stark reminder to always trust your instincts and stay vigilant. You never know who might be lurking in the shadows, pretending to be someone you trust. It was a sweltering summer evening when I found myself driving down an unfamiliar back road. I had just finished visiting my parents' house and decided to take a shortcut through the countryside to avoid traffic. The sun was setting, casting long shadows across the empty fields that surrounded me. The road was narrow and winding, and my phone had lost signal miles ago. As I drove, the engine of my car began to sputter. My heart sank as I glanced at the fuel gauge, realizing I was nearly out of gas. I cursed under my breath. The nearest town was still several miles away, and the likelihood of finding a gas station in this remote area seemed slim. I continued driving, hoping to come across a farmhouse or a passing car, but the road remained eerily empty. Just as my car finally gave out, I spotted a small pull-off area ahead. I coasted to a stop and parked, the engine giving one last cough before falling silent. The silence was deafening, and the isolation of the place began to creep into my bones. I stepped out of the car, the evening air heavy with the scent of wildflowers and the distant sound of crickets. I was debating whether to start walking or wait for someone to pass by when I noticed headlights in the distance. Relief washed over me as the car approached, its flashing blue and red lights identifying it as a police vehicle. The patrol car pulled up behind mine, and a tall, imposing figure stepped out. He wore a crisp police uniform and a broad-brimmed hat that cast a shadow over his face. His presence was commanding, but something about him felt off. Perhaps it was the setting or the unexpected nature of his appearance, but a chill ran down my spine. "Evening, ma'am," he greeted in a deep, authoritative voice. "Having some trouble?" "Yes, officer," I replied, forcing a smile. "I ran out of gas and I'm kind of lost. Can you help me?" He nodded, his face still obscured by the hat shadow. "Of course. I can give you a ride to the nearest gas station. It's a few miles up the road." Despite his offer, the unease in my gut persisted. "Do you have any identification, officer? I just want to be sure." He paused, a strange tension hanging in the air, before reaching into his pocket to produce a badge. It looked real enough, but the uneasy feeling wouldn't leave me. His eyes, barely visible under the brim of his hat, seemed to bore into mine. "It's getting dark," he said, his tone shifting slightly. "You don't want to be out here alone." His insistence made my skin crawl, I glanced at the darkening sky, then back at him. I appreciate it, but I think I'll wait here. Maybe try to flag down another car. His demeanor changed in an instant. I insist, he said, his voice now carrying a hint of menace. It's not safe out here. The hairs on the back of my neck stood up. No, thank you, I repeated firmly, stepping back towards my car. He took a step forward, and the tension snapped. Get in the car, he ordered, his voice no longer friendly. Panic surged through me as I turned and ran back to my car. I yanked open the door and locked it just as he reached for the handle. He pounded on the window, shouting for me to open up, but I ignored him, fumbling for my phone despite the lack of signal. Suddenly, another pair of headlights appeared on the horizon, approaching quickly. The fake officer backed away, his expression twisting with frustration. The new car pulled up, and to my immense relief, it was another police vehicle. A real one this time, with two officers inside. The second patrol car stopped, and the officers inside immediately sensed something was wrong. They approached cautiously, guns drawn, and ordered the imposter to the ground. He resisted for a moment before they overpowered him, handcuffing him and placing him in the back of their car. One of the real officers, a kind-faced woman, approached my window. Are you all right, ma'am? She asked gently. I nodded, tears of relief streaming down my face. Yes, thank you. I don't know what he was planning, but it wasn't good. They took my statement and assured me that the imposter would be taken into custody. They had been tracking reports of a man posing as a police officer in the area for weeks. The officers offered to take me to the nearest gas station, and this time, I accepted without hesitation. As I sat in the back of their patrol car, I couldn't shake the lingering fear. The man's eyes, filled with malice, sitting next to me.
NASCAR on Prime lights up Music City. Who's got what it takes to tackle the concrete at Nashville Super Speedway and walk away with NASCAR's coolest trophy? Stream the NASCAR Cup Series at Nashville, Sunday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, where music meets motorsports, only on Prime.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.